Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones, barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild time.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome into another episode of the Podcastianos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by our show's very own numerologist. It's Mr. Eric Wayne. Eric, on a 20 to 80, how are you feeling tonight?
Always 80. Even if I have to fake it for some scouts, always 80.
All right.
Got to get that, you know, got to get that eye wash in. You got to, you know, put up, got to have a lot of that want to, you know.
I don't know that I'm an 80 in any aspect of my life.
Hey, you don't have to be an 80. You just got to fake it and make other people think you are. That's the trick.
So the big news in Tiger Town today was obviously the number retirement ceremony for new Hall of Famer Jack Morris. I saw a couple people on Tiger's Twitter who were going. What kind of excitement level did this draw for you?
You know, I feel like we covered this a little bit on a past podcast. I'm not a big Jack Morris guy. I was a little too late along to really experience him. I remember him with the Twins. And as a broadcaster and as a baseball thinker, meaning like what his philosophy is, I'm always kind of eh about Jack Morris. So that carried over and I'm still kind of eh.
Yeah, I feel like I've poo-pooed him a little bit too, as you know, one of the Tigers' legends. Because, like you say, he was so far before my time. But I was on his baseball reference page. Like, he was a pretty good player for the Tigers.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
I mean, he
Hall
is
Hall of Fame good.
He is a Hall of Famer. 198 yeah. wins. Couldn't quite get to 200. This is just for the Tigers. Okay. 1980 strikeouts. Couldn't quite get to 2000. High 3 ERA, but 9 seasons or of more than 200 innings pitched. Like, those are pretty good numbers.
How many Tigers or how many players on the 2013 Tigers were better than Jack Morris? How many pitchers?
As far as pitchers, probably all of them. I mean, just in terms of pure ability, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. No, like, well, by the time we're all said and done, could the Tigers have had 4 pitchers on that team, all of whom will have better careers than Jack Morris?
Who's, I mean, most definitely. Who would you say is not in that group?
Sanchez.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking too.
But he's good too. But Verlander, Scherzer, Price for sure.
Yeah, Porcello probably. I mean, he's going to win a lot of games over the next 5 years in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, if Porcello had a Jack Morris-like career, would that surprise you? No. But I know some old man is listening to this right now, and he's getting huffy. He's getting his dander up, and he's saying, "Well, Jack Morris is a winner. He's got the will, you know. He's got the will to win." And I would say, "Oh, stop it."
So for that person, we don't give him the Twitter addresses or the email addresses. We actually give him our literal addresses so that he can write us an angry letter. No?
He's going to come by with a pickup and find you alongside the road someplace. Hey, Hall!
So like you said, we think of him as a Twin a lot, but he was only with the Twins for a year. He's obviously spent some time broadcasting there and with the Jays.
But he won a World Series that year, right?
I don't know. I was like four.
I think that's the year they won the World Series. It just seems kind of important.
It's interesting. Like, he threw 240 innings in 1984, and yet, I mean, for us, big Tigers fans, not super old, but, I mean, we're not children. Like, he just isn't, for me, one of the all-time Tigers. And I just think that's interesting.
Yeah. I'll get more excited about Trammell.
Yeah, for sure.
I really will.
Brings us this week's leadoff question. If you were commissioned to choose the next Tiger to have their number retired, who would you pick?
Luke Pekonen.
I would love to see Lupu's face during that ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd take it in stride. I mean, the answer is going the real answer is going to be Trammell.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean literally as in, I mean, there clearly is a ceremony, you know, scheduled for him. I was meaning beyond that one. Or the intern who created this content. Obviously, it's not just me coming up with all these questions.
Cabrera will get his. Verlander will get most his definitely. At some point.
Probably Scherzer, I mean, too.
Maybe, yeah.
Although he probably is going to go on to have a better career with Washington than he has had with us.
I think you're right. I think those are the people.
I can't believe you didn't go Phil.
Yeah, everybody knows that. Leland, does Leland get some more love at some point from us?
Yes, that's a great call. He absolutely. I don't know necessarily that he should. He did resurrect the franchise and take us to two World Series.
I mean, I don't think he's going to get his name on the wall, though, do you?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, in the Tigers' managerial pantheon, I mean, he's got to be, what, number two?
Yeah. Cabrera's going to get a straight-up statue.
Oh, for sure. And he absolutely should. I mean, yes. There's no doubt about that. I went with Donnie. Like, nobody should ever wear 32 again. There's been nobody like Donnie before. There could not be anyone like Donnie after. I mean, in many ways, for our generation of Tigers fans, he's a legend. Maybe not for the typical baseball reasons, but Donnie's a legend.
He brought us to whole new levels of wholesomeness.
Yeah. And for the Huffy fan we were referring to earlier, I don't actually think we should retire Donnie's number. And I don't actually think he's a Tigers legend.
Let me tell you, people have been a little ornery on the internet and stuff. I don't know if it's losing or maybe it's just people. Maybe I'm being bad at it, but people have like come and added me just like, dude, you're kind of ornery. I'm just like, hey, just having fun making jokes here, people. Relax.
Are you insinuating that there was once a time on the internet where people weren't ornery?
Well, it seemed to be a little better when, like, before in the good old days.
We'll go there. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. Podcastianos@gmail.com. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And we have a review from this week. It's from Zach Isaacs. It came in on Wednesday, 5 stars, and it's titled Great for Tigers Lovers. Here is the review. I love this.
I thought that was it. There's more.
Oh, that's the title. Yeah. There's body to the message. Wow, I love this show. Effort. Just picked it up over the past couple months because the baseball is bland, but the podcast has plenty of seasoning. Oh, a little culinary metaphor there.
I'm spicy.
Oh, geez. This podcast is good for those who aren't even Tigers fans because you can hear about what Hall sees on the side of the road and what Eric does on vacation. Plus, who doesn't love Blaine Hardy? That's a good point. No.
I don't think how could Blaine have any enemies? I mean, I don't think he would.
I mean, just as World of Warcraft online, like, you know, rivals. Right. Yeah. Speaking of, I ordered a Blaine Hardy jersey. Finally came in. I'm super excited about it.
A shirt or an honest to goodness jersey?
It's an honest to goodness jersey. I purchased it from, shall we say, overseas, so it didn't cost what a typical Tigers jersey would. But it's pretty legit. It's a little big on me, but it's pretty legit for purchasing it from where I purchased it.
I mean, would it fool the normal person?
It would. It absolutely would.
Or like, yeah. Oh, this is from China.
Even if it doesn't, I don't care. I don't have $80 to drop on a jersey. I have $20. I mean, It was t-shirt cost. I'm all about that.
Wow. I can't believe you're just, you know, taking advantage of the club. Not official. Yeah, not officially licensed. Oh, man. We're going to get phone calls from the brass.
If Chris Illich wants to come take it off my back next time I'm at Comerica, then he can feel free.
You're going to get knockoff Little Caesars next? Come on.
What could possibly be worse than Little Caesars? Like, knockoff Little Caesars is probably better.
Good point.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So as we promised on Twitter, this will be an almost listener question only show. As many of you may be aware, the Tigers have not been very hashtag good. And quite frankly, as difficult as it is to watch them, I'd imagine breaking down the performances would even be more soul crushing.
Yeah, we're not going to go inning by inning. And
we're done with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of resources you can find. If you're interested in like game by game recaps and catching up, I would recommend Dan Dickerson's Twitter feed.
I thought you were gonna say you recommend getting a life.
I recommend you go for a walk and get some ice cream or something. No, Dan Dickerson's good. And there's plenty of other beat writers who'd be happy to have your eyeballs and clicks, but we're not going to break it down game by game. Overarching view here is we've had trouble scoring some runs.
Yes, that would be a good summation of the last, 2 years? Specifically the last couple of weeks.
We had, how many game losing streak in there? Let's see.
14, I think it was.
Well, yeah, with that one. But recently we've had... So we were 6 straight losses on the West Coast before winning 2 out of 3 against the Twins. That's what happened.
So first of all, Tigers this week moved Mike Fiers, gone to Oakland for 2 players to be named later, or the mysterious cash option. I got to tell you, Eric, not knowing who it is absolutely killing me. Like, I don't even know that I care who it is. I just want to know. It's
because you
want to
Google them.
Exactly. I want to see where they are on MLB pipeline.
Right. I mean, they're going to be 2 A level players.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah. There's one. I think he was like their 2018 third round draft pick, who was a shortstop, played a lot of games in college, seemed like a really glove first with a questionable bat shortstop that I'd love to see it be him, just to, you know, put him in the system, see what develops. But, you know, like we said, we have no idea. Do you have any idea when we'll know? Is it an after the season kind of deal?
Maybe. I don't get the mechanics of this exactly. Even the cash piece of it is like, just in case one of these 2 guys gets hurt or something like that, you can take the cash. The Tigers really want the players, but the cash option is like a security policy in case something happens to one of them, I guess.
I was corrected on Twitter saying that they don't do the whole, like, if they drafted them in 2018, they can't be traded for till the end of the year or whatever. Right. Apparently they don't do that anymore.
That's not a problem anymore. So why wouldn't they announce it and switch them over? Just because they want to let them play the rest of the year with their current club? Or
I guess. I don't know. If any of you guys have any insight into that, let us know. Tigers Twitter is kind of just assumes that we're going to get hosed in this deal, which, first of all, I think is kind of a fallacy because it's Mike Fiers. Like, let's not get carried away. Yeah. Pretty much any return is a halfway decent one. Why do we have this overriding pessimism? Like, Al Avila has done halfway decent in his returns on some of these guys. Why do we just immediately think we're going to get screwed?
No, I think it'll be fine. So my understanding, just to follow up on this a little bit, is the Tigers have like a list of guys. It might be 5 or 6 guys, and they can choose anybody on that list. So maybe why they're waiting is because they have the rights to see these guys play for a little longer. I think that might be part of it. And then they can decide at a later date which one of the 5 or 6 guys they want.
So that's actually a good thing for us.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's how it works. But no, I don't think we're not gonna get screwed here. I mean, like you said, it's Mike Fiers. We picked him up at the beginning of the year on a whim.
Yeah,
not basically. A whim, but
no, a little bit of a whim. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
it was a little bit of a reclamation project. I mean, and he was strong, and we got a good return of some sort for him. So it's good business.
How do you think
as they say in soccer?
How do you think
the good business there?
The return changed from waiting past the non-waiver deadline. Do you think that affected anything?
I think it gave them more time to hone in on their list and get the A's to play a little bit more ball with them. And you know, sometimes these deals just take time. I think that was the main issue.
Yeah. So like we said before, we dropped 4 of 6 this week and currently sit 20 games below 500. We have the 6th worst record in baseball and are only 2 games out, so to speak. I don't know exactly how you'd refer to that from the number right. 4 pick. I mean, we're pretty soundly in team tank at this point.
Yeah, and I expect more of a slide, don't you?
Yeah.
Towards the bottom.
I mean, we ran Jacob Turner out there. Like, let that sink in. That dude, and it was funny, I think Beck not tweeted good. This, that it was 10 years after he was drafted and he was still the youngest member of the current rotation, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So Jacob Turner obviously was team tank. Zach McAllister's up.
Yeah, I saw we obtained him.
It's kind of a little bit interesting. He's had some success with the Indians.
That's the exact kind of move that you want the Tigers to make, though. Just like picking up possible reclamation projects.
Yeah, I think Evan said that this isn't getting a head start on the 2019 bullpen. This is, I don't think there is an option to bring him back in the, you know, for next year. But
okay,
give him some run. I mean, I guess you're saving bullets and from some of the other arms.
Yeah. And I'm sure that I don't know how that works, but I mean, he's not going to make a big salary. And, you know, OK, so maybe he finds something with Anderson as the pitching coach and they make a little bit of a bond. And OK, even if he doesn't break out, you see a little bit and maybe you can bring him back on a 1 year deal. You learn something about, you know, there's all this kind of stuff to have some, you know, another big league pitcher in there you can get to know. I don't know. It's probably good.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I'm sunshining this big time.
And he's not worse than Jacob Turner. Like, we all had the highest of hopes for Jacob Turner when he came in. Dude A is not very good. And, like, he's had enough chances, enough places. Like, we can just close the book on this dude. He is actually bad.
Yeah, he can be with the Mud Hens or whatever. That's fine.
Sure.
Keep him in the stable. Just maybe a few barns down. It's fine.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, so let's move on to the questions. Tigers baseball has been bad, but baseball in general and life kind of more widely are both good things. Like, let's boost our collective moods, have some fun. All right, are you ready for the questions?
Yes.
The first one comes in from DJ Sobish. I'm curious if this is like a wiki DJ or it's just his first name or first, you know, just the initials DJ.
No, I'm sure he spins records in the weekends.
Okay. Have we discussed how I'm not convinced that there's anything more to being a DJ than just like an aux cord and a playlist on iTunes?
That's because you diminish everybody's profession. You know, show a little esteem for the music makers, okay?
Okay. Come on. Sorry. I respect the uns, etc. Anyway, he says, how hard is it to generate questions for a mid-level podcast dedicated to a baseball team 20 games below 500?
Wait, he just call us mid-level? Thank you. That's so nice of you. Thanks. Wow.
Mid-level. Bit of a dig.
That's so generous. Wow.
To be fair, DJ, it is Mr. DJ. I don't know how to address somebody of that profession. We get about, We get enough questions. I mean,
good enough. It's fine.
Just none of them are about the Tigers anymore, which, to be fair, is what we're going for. Okay, so the next one is from one of my good friends, Austin Jeunesse, at Austin_Jeunesse. He has a tier system for fast food, and I kind of want – we've discussed this in person many times, and I kind of wanted to get your takes on this because I just feel like you're somebody who could get invested in this kind of thing and really help us flesh it out. So the tenets of each tier are cost, quality, and speed. So your bottom tier, McDonald's, Burger King, etc., cheap cost, low quality, fast. Does that make sense?
Sure.
The medium tier, which would be like a Wendy's or a Jimmy John's, still relatively low cost, better quality, and despite listing Jimmy John's here, kind of medium speed. Wendy's takes a little bit longer than McDonald's. Generally worth the wait, but and then the last one would be higher cost, higher quality, and then borderline slow, but slower certainly than the other ones, which would be like Culver's and Chick-fil-A. Can you get behind this?
So I'm imagining even a fourth tier of like Five Guys, Chipotle, Panera. I mean,
so are you putting them in a higher tier? Is it higher quality still than Culver's and Chick-fil-A? I feel like that those are all kind of in the same range.
I mean, Culver's and Chick-fil-A to me is still like fast food.
Really?
But I feel like Chipotle and even like Five Guys is kind of, you don't drive through at Five Guys. You have to go in.
That's true. Availability same thing of a drive-thru certainly lowers the tier.
Yeah, so maybe it doesn't even count as fast food. Because Chipotle, you have to go in.
But Subway doesn't have a drive-thru, yeah, and Subway's fast food.
Subway is like bottom tier to me.
Definitely. And that's the thing about the tiers. It's like each of the tiers have their purpose. Like sometimes you just want to go to Taco Bell and you want cheap, you want fast. Like, I think the burrito places are interesting. Where do you come down, like Chipotle, Qdoba, and have you been to Moe's?
I've not been to Moe's.
Moe's is the burrito goat. You have two of them down there in Grand Rapids. You need to go there. It is the burrito goat for sure.
Every time I see the Moe's logo, I'm like, oh, Jordan would want me to stop. And then
he does.
I can't pass them without thinking of you, Hall.
That's good. I'm glad I'm somewhere in that crawl of yours.
Yeah. So I'm a fan of those. I mean, you get a lot. You pay a little bit more, but you get a ton of food. Really.
Yes.
It's delicious.
Have I told you the story about when we were in Qdoba in Traverse City?
No.
It was just the other day we were in there, and the guy in front of me, I don't know, mid-40s, probably a little younger than you. Boom. So he steps up, and he's like going over the menu, and he has the girl behind the counter explain to him what a quesadilla is.
Yeah, how do you become a grown man in this country without knowing such a thing?
I don't think you can be considered a grown man anymore. I think you're just going to go back to being a large child. It's a shell and cheese. That's a quesadilla.
Like, you have to be pretty far removed from society.
You would certainly think so. Now, you listed Panera. I don't know. I don't know that Panera is a step above Culver's. Or certainly not above Chick-fil-A. Panera is Chick food.
I like Panera.
Of course you do. You fancy downstate boy. What do you get at Panera? Panera is straight up Chick food.
Like a sandwich and a salad or soup.
I mean, it has to be a lunch. Place,
they have
right?
like baked goods and stuff. That's good too. It's fine.
A man cannot go to Panera and have dinner like that. That is just not possible.
Yeah, it's not. No, it's a lunch thing. It's not a dinner.
Okay,
thing,
really. for lunch.
Where is this going? So yes, I affirm the tier structure. Is there a question or is that
no?
The that's, question?
I was just curious what your take on it was.
No, I think that's pretty realistic. I would add a fourth. Quality quick service tier as well, and then I think you've pretty much encapsulated it.
Yeah, and that would be your places without drive-thrus.
Yeah, huh. Yeah.
All right, I feel like we've made progress in this thing.
I've got that covered. Good.
All right, let's move on. The next one at Evan_C_Kennedy. What is the best jelly for a PB&J?
Oh, I'm not a grape guy. I don't like the grape. I want strawberry, but not strawberry preserves. I want strawberry jam, but without like big chunks.
So you want it sugared as opposed to just straight up bits of strawberry.
Yeah, no, I want it. I don't want like strawberry jelly. Like I want it a little. Yeah, I want just like strawberry jam.
I'd agree with that. I would say that's probably the
strawberry jam. That's the best.
Because like, good.
Grape isn't doing it for me. Mm-mm. So sometimes we'll get blackberry. That's pretty good.
I don't know if I've ever had blackberry. That sounds good though.
It's big in Guatemala. Like if you look at the middle shelf in Guatemala, you'll see mora, which is like blackberries, and you'll get blackberry jam. But I feel in the U.S. it's more bottom shelf.
All right. The next one comes from Bradley Moyer. He wants your opinion on...
Marmalade is trash. Can we agree to that?
What is marmalade? It's just like hoity-toity jelly, right?
It's more like orange marmalade. I think it's just they gelatinize some oranges and put sugar with it.
I don't want orange anything.
Anyway.
Orange is trash. Bradley Moyer wants your opinion on Space Force! !
I'm not going to get started on Space Force. It's pass. Our best.
All right. Dropkick Hoonigan, he asks us, two-parter, pudding versus mousse.
Oh, I like pudding. I mean, I get that mousse is fluffier. It's like whipped. But I'm a simple man. I just like the pudding. That's good.
In a more real sense, are pudding and mousse actually different things?
Yeah, of course.
They're the same thing.
Here's what you need to do is you make a parfait. You put the pudding at the bottom. It's like a tequila sunrise of desserts, okay? You get the different viscosities layered up. Don't look at me like that. You get the pudding on the bottom, and then you go the mousse, and then you go with the whipped cream on top. You know, you just give yourself a nice tequila sunrise of dessert, so it's nice layered.
All right. The second part, Cool Whip or whipped cream?
Oh, whipped cream is far superior, but I think most people just understand, like, Cool Whip is, okay, that's whipped cream. It's fine.
Yeah, also, like, you can buy Cool Whip. You don't have to make Cool Whip, which is, you know, obviously, yes. Whitney is the queen of desserts. Like, she makes desserts for us all the time. But if I were living alone, I wouldn't even know how to begin to make whipped cream. I would just purchase Cool Whip.
Cool Whip is non-dairy. It's made out of, like, vegetable oil.
Oh, so it's vegan.
Pretty much. I don't even know if you can buy real whipped cream in a tub like they serve Cool Whip. But you can get whipped cream in, like, the aerosol. That's pretty good. The real whipped cream in an aerosol can is pretty good.
I mean, anything aerosol is terrible for the environment. But, I mean, if you don't care about Mother Earth, then...
And there's nothing better than tipping your mouth back and just, you know, pushing that little nozzle over. Right into your mouth is so good.
That's actually excellent sound effects. I should.
I don't actually have a can of whipped cream here with me.
I should cut that out, and we can just drop that in shows kind of intermittently. I'm not going to do that. @ Ryan Kraus, which is an interesting way for... Oh, my laundry's done. Did you hear that?
Four and a half clean clothes. Of course you're doing laundry. You need a clean pair of jeans every day.
Anyway, Ryan Kraus asks us, does Mike Trout's wrist stop him from being the best player to ever play the game and keep him from winning the MVP?
Do you have an update on this? I know he's out.
He just hit the DL with the wrist injury.
How long? Me, I'm a Trout guy. Like, if you ask me who's the best player in baseball, I really don't want to hear the Mookie Betts thing. It's always Trout.
Oh, for sure. And we actually... @Carrie_55_ he says that he doesn't like Boston, but Betts might overtake him now. The thing about Mookie is Mookie's like 25 already, and this is his second full year of being amazing. Like, if he does this for another 5, 6, 7 years, then yeah, sure,
then
he's on Trump's or he's on Trout's level. Too much Space Force. But I mean, Trout has been like not even close to, but far and away the best player in the game for a very, very long time now.
Remember when Cabrera won the MVP and it was and Trout was right there with him? That seems like forever ago.
It was the year he won the Triple Crown, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
he. I'm almost positive when in saying that I don't think he led the American League in WAR that year. Mike Trout, despite
Mark. Yep.
That's why. Which is nuts.
That's why I made a like a parody Triple Crown logo where it said Mike Trout single crown war, and that was it. But you know, we kind of made fun of him because we were all Cabrera fans and we wanted Cabrera to win. But like, Trout was probably just as good. I mean, he was amazing.
And he still seems to be getting better. I mean, like Ryan says here, the only thing stopping him from being is the wrist, which, you know, does the, I don't know, wrist heal?
You like, got another one. You got two.
And even if he has a 75% wrist for the rest of his career, he'll probably still be at a higher level than anyone else in baseball. I think
if he stops playing, is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes. How would he not be?
I think he is. If he played no more games, he's like, what, 27? 28? Something like that. I should look it up.
He is, yeah. Yeah, I think he just turned 27 because he's number 27, and they made a big deal about that.
Jeez, the guy's a stud.
Yeah. Lawn Steakball, that's the Twitter name, asked, where do you rank Jack Morris's stash, as in mustache, on the list of all-time Tiger stashes? Tom Brookins is the gold standard. Does Morris top Dave Bergman for number two?
That's a pretty good breakdown. Lawn, steak, ball. Good job. I think it's accurate. Brookins is pretty darn good.
How do you factor Todd Jones into it? Because he had a pretty quality stash, but it led into other things too.
Yeah, I mean, you got to just straight stash. Okay, I suppose.
I wasn't exactly sure how we.
Tom Selleck, does that count? You know, he always wore the Tigers cap. That's a grade A stash. Magnum PI.
Some might even say legendary. Even I know who that is and understand the stash, despite the fact that he was, you know, from well before I was born.
Yes.
Sad commentary. I know him more from Friends than I do from anything else that he's done.
That is pretty sad. Yes.
Zach McCurdy asks, big debate in our house at the moment. Best type of homemade cookies. I'm a simple chocolate chip man. My wife wants oatmeal chocolate chip. Get out of here with that oatmeal.
Yeah, what you're making and eating a cookie. Don't put anything healthy in there. You're ruining the whole cookie. What are you going to drop some raisins in there next? No, stop it. You need to make chocolate chip cookies are great. Yeah, that's fine.
It's like putting kale and all of the vegetables on a pizza. You're eating pizza. Like, there's nothing you can do to fix that. Just eat the pizza. Just eat the cookies.
Eat a delicious pizza and then have a little salad on the side. Right,
or just don't. Just eat pizza and don't worry about it.
Oh, right. If you're being healthy, don't eat the pizza because it's pizza.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. There is, I mean, there's almost nothing better in life than just a good classic chocolate chip cookie. I'm a big cookie guy. Mm-hmm. That's probably my number one. Pizza, cookies, chicken tenders. Those are probably my three favorite foods.
Where are you going next for a cookie? If they don't have chocolate chip, where are you going next? Do you do the white chocolate macadamia?
I could do that. Subway has a white chocolate raspberry that's pretty good. I don't know if that's like a common one, but don't give me oatmeal raisin. That is straight trash. They have kind of like the monster cookies that have a little bit of nuts and I think a couple different kinds of chocolates. Feels a little busy for my taste.
Where do you land on sugar cookies?
I like sugar cookies, especially around Christmas, but all the time. Let's be honest.
Is Snickerdoodle a fancy sugar cookie or is it something else completely? You familiar with sugar?
I think it's like a tricked out sugar cookie.
Yeah, it's kind of a misnomer because Snickerdoodle does not have Snickers in it, which is,
I mean,
very
could.
Misleading.
That would improve it.
A Snickerdoodle.
Our buddy Jacob Skronik has two questions for us. One actually was from several weeks ago that somehow I missed, but it's a good one. Talk about more players you hate irrationally.
Oh. I just thought about it for like a couple moments and I came up with some. Nafi Perez. We got him in a trade from the Cubs and he was awful. And every time I bring him up, because I hated him so much, everybody says, oh, he had that great play to save Verlander's no-hitter. Like, yeah, maybe somebody else would have done that if they were playing, but we had to deal with freaking Nafi Perez. He's got a weird misshapen head, and I never liked him.
And he was kind of fat, too, for a big league player.
Yeah. Jose Veras, I never liked him. Joe Truth.
How did you have an opinion on Jose Veras?
I don't know. I just never thought we should have gotten him.
All right, I guess that's fair.
My all-time least favorite is Roman Cologne.
I have to hear
this
story.
Do you know who that is? He came in the trade.
He came from the Braves, right?
With the Braves, with Zach Minor. And he was just a jerk. And then Matt Sussman could probably tell you the story better than I can, but he got into a fight with a guy in AAA in the locker room and like broke his hand and ended some other kid's career, I think. So Roman Cologne was a notorious hothead and was just a jerk. He's the worst.
I actually didn't have any. I didn't write down any Tigers. I didn't particularly like Bruce Rondon. The usual reasons. It seems like the majority of the other guys I have are just division rivals. I don't like Kipnis. I think he's kind of a tool.
Oh, I thought they meant Tigers. Sorry.
Oh, Kipnis? I'm not sure. All of the various former Royal douchebags, Hosmer, Sal Perez, Alex Gordon, Moustakas, can't stand any of them.
I never liked Kyle Farnsworth. We had him for a while. I still didn't like him.
So did just about every other team in baseball. Nelson Cruz, Luke Scott,
Brzezinski. Everybody seemed to hate Brzezinski.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I don't really like the majority of like power hitting lefty first baseman. It's just kind of a general tier of players that I don't specifically like. I don't know. I can't tell you why. Hence the irrationality. All right. His second question is, if you're sitting in parking lot traffic, is it acceptable to reverse off the highway to get to an exit ramp?
Yeah, but I feel like you got to wait it out for a while, maybe 5-10 minutes. And then it's very clear you're not moving. Then I say go ahead and make the move.
Now, what about trying to get yourself to, like the cut throughs to get back going the other direction that you're not supposed to use, that like, official vehicles only? How do you feel about those?
Yeah, I think they're in bounds, after you wait a while. Or if you get a report that, traffic up ahead or the road is shut down or whatever, that's the thing to do. Go ahead and reverse around, I'd say.
All right. So you're telling people to break the law. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
We're going to get all kinds of correspondence this week.
Speaking of law breaking, at least I have officially licensed jerseys.
I'm not reselling my officially licensed unofficially licensed jersey. I'm going to wear it. I'm going to support Blaine.
Very thoughtful.
Our buddy Anthony Troya says, do you think Nico stays around for the foreseeable future? I've enjoyed watching him grow a bit this year.
Yeah, I mean, why not? What's his contract status?
Here for a while. I believe that's the contract status.
I mean, he's young enough. Where he's got arbitration years and stuff coming up, right?
So here's the thing with the Tigers right now is we just don't really have that many assets. Nico is pushing the definition of the phrase asset, but I would, at least as far as we go, I would consider him one of those. We're not going to ship him out for nothing. Like, somebody has to play some of the positions next year, and honestly, at this point, it's going to be him, which is what it
absolutely.
Is.
I'm trying to find him. Where is he? Where are you, Nico?
He's at the bottom because he doesn't make anything.
That's very true. I can't find. Oh, here he is, Nico. So he's making $650,000.
That's a good living.
This year. But next year, it literally does not say anything. It's just a blank. It does not see free agent. But it doesn't even say arbitration or anything. So I don't know.
It's like,
come on.
It's like Cott got bored making the spreadsheet and just like, screw it.
Yeah, nobody's going to
look at Nico. Why am I putting Nico Goodrum in here? Our buddy Roger Castillo from the Sports Radio Detroit Tigers podcast, he asks, Premier League is back. What are some of your bold predictions? We did a couple bold predictions last week, but now we have a week under our belt to have seen some. Any Newcastle hot takes?
I was actually – my spirits were a bit buoyed by the performance against Spurs. They got a goal, and it was actually a very pretty goal that they had.
It was.
And Spurs got an early kind of ugly one, and then they got a good one. But I think we'll hold our own. I can't really – I'm not qualified to make any predictions about the rest of the league because I just watched Newcastle. Kind of like I couldn't give you any – takes about the National League West. Like I really would not be able to tell you.
That's fair. I was very surprised with how well you guys played against Spurs. That Hossaloo goal was actually sweet. I was like, oh wow,
for Newcastle.
And everybody, all the Newcastle fans dog Hulsalou because he's just – he's just kind of a stone out there. He's not very good. But that was beautifully deflected in. And then everybody's like, well, maybe he's good. I'm like, well, calm down.
Has there been any update on Yedlin? He went off during the game, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it's a fairly significant injury. But
it looked bad.
I do not have an update. Like, people were saying farewell for a while. That might be something.
Yeah.
And we... you know, he's got some holes in his game, but we used him. I mean, he started almost every game for us.
I was more concerned about him as an American, more so than from a Newcastle perspective.
He'll be healed by the time Americans play any consequential games.
By the 2022 World Cup, you think he'll be back?
Well, exactly. He's going to be too old by that point to start, I imagine.
I don't know. My hot take is a lot of people have been dogging on United, you know, Jose. Even I thought that the meltdown had begun. I'll tell you what, I don't think we're going to be quite as bad as people think this year. I mean, clearly we're not catching City, but we might be able to beat Liverpool for that second spot.
There you go.
I was very impressed with our first game. It should have been a clean sheet, but, you know, it happens. All right, last one is from Brett Timmer. He said, let's open old wounds and talk about how many Tigers from the 2011 through 2014 core are now on contending teams yet could never put it together to bring a World Series Detroit. Even Anyball is pitching well again.
So I tried my hand at making a position by description, a position by position team. So this would be the all X Tiger team.
Okay. This will be good.
So maybe you can contribute. So catcher is maybe the biggest point of weakness. I guess you could say Avila.
He's on a contender, yeah.
Or maybe Kurt Casale. I mean,
is Casale in the Reds? I think he's with the Reds now.
Is he with the Reds now? I don't know. Is there anybody else? I don't think so.
I would definitely say Avila is the choice there.
Avila is a choice. Okay, so first base, I mean, Cabrera's kind of held that down. I guess you could say, I mean, and Prince Fielder's out of baseball. I guess he'd be the only other guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
First base, so we hadn't really lost a first baseman. Second base, Kinsler.
Yeah.
Okay. Shortstop, Suarez.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's a big one. Third base, Hernan Perez,
which he has had a far better career than I would have ever imagined.
Would have guessed. Yep.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He hasn't had like a great career by any stretch since leaving.
But, right.
I mean, I thought he was terrible when right. he left. I was good with the DFA.
So left field, we have Upton.
Yeah.
Center field, Martin.
Yeah.
I mean,
Curtis is, I mean, he played center for us.
Austin. Curtis. Yeah. Austin. But I would say, well, he's hurt now, but Martin.
Yeah. Right, do you know the story on that? It sounds super, super serious. Like he's been
some
very
kind of intestinal issue or
yeah. They've been very vague. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the answer is, I don't know. JD is playing right field.
He's good.
He's good. Pitchers, okay.
All of the ones you just mentioned.
The lineup is good, but the rotation is amazing. You would have Verlander, Scherzer, Porcello, Price, and Robbie Ray.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
like you said,
Sanchez is good too, but I mean Robbie Ray, I imagine, is better. So in the bullpen, you have Fernando Rodney, Corey Knebel. And I think that's about it.
Just during the 2000s, because say Andrew Miller, but he obviously wasn't around for 2011
yes,
through 2014.
Andrew Miller. Yeah. So, I mean, if you were able to somehow scoop together all the former Tigers, like if we would have kept pieces and traded pieces differently, yes, we would have the super team.
Yeah.
And, you know, a $300 million payroll, too. But
and the thing is like, you know, we talk about old wounds. Like, how did we not put win a World Series? And there's, you know, a multitude of reasons for that. A lot of them rhyme with Ad Rosmus. But
Ouch. We got to watch a lot of amazing players over that run play really, really well. You know, obviously they didn't come through and win it all, but we got to see some really, really good baseball. And that's, you know, something that Pirates fans and Rays fans and the Padres fans, like they didn't have that same experience. Like,
they didn't get.
Yeah, we enjoyed a very healthy period of winning. And hopefully we'll get back to it again. But until then, you know, we have those memories to look back on.
Well said.
Of Nelson Cruz crushing our soul year after year after year.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Let's move on to your beef of the week.
All right. So this might be my most controversial beef of the week ever. And I caught some heat on Twitter about this. My beef of the week is this. I think s'mores are overrated. Are overrated. I'm not saying they're bad. I think people are buying into s'more culture a little too much. S'mores for me are, you get the marshmallow, even if it's roasted correctly, it's too sticky. You can't eat this thing without, you know, feeling you need to take a bath afterwards. It's stickiness all over. And okay, so you're roasting your marshmallow to make a s'more. It's impossible to make these things turn out just right. Either they're igniting and you're burning the s'more and you got to dump it. Or, you know, you get ash kind of coming up on your marshmallow and you taste that carbon on your food. No, thank you. And you get this mixed texture thing. So you got the cracker and the chocolate and you're biting. You need the tooth to get into the cracker and the chocolate and you're biting. Inevitably, that squishes the s'more. The marshmallow. The marshmallow can't hold up under the tooth pressure of the bite needed. So you have just like this flattened mess. Yeah. And tell me this. If s'mores are so good, why are people constantly feeling the need to improve upon them? Right? So like, oh, let's do it with Nutella. Let's do it with a peanut butter cup. Oh, you can do them this way. Oh, yeah. Because you know why? Because they suck to start. And you know, you have a grouping of people and you say, oh, would you like a s'more? And a lot of people will just be like, you know, just give me the candy bar or no, just give me the cracker or maybe just the marshmallow. And nobody wants the whole package of s'mores. So
I completely agree. Yeah, that's good. That is a very well thought out take. Here's the deal.
I'm getting crushed.
You absolutely shouldn't be, because you're correct. Graham crackers, not good. Marshmallows, raw or toasted, they're fine. And the regular Hershey chocolate bar is the bottom of the candy bar barrel. Like,
at least give me some dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want
Why are we
your
taking all
chocolate.
These mediocre ingredients and putting them together to make a combined, an effort-filled, mediocre dessert?
Here's a shameful confession. I would rather eat a s'more Pop-Tart than eating a s'more. Give me the Pop-Tart.
I'd probably agree
with
you.
It's easy to eat. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Whitney's...
It's a lot of effort. You got sticky sticks when you're done.
Yeah.
And then you got to clean them, kind of. People are like putting them in the fire until they burn and then running them in the sand. You know, kind of, they get them clean, but you're never eating a clean s'more.
That's true. Yeah. Whitney's family always brings the Reese's peanut butter cups and they'll be like, do you want one? You know, a s'more? I'm like, no, I just want the peanut butter cups because that's actually a good dessert.
Yeah, and then you don't have to have some dirty stick marshmallow on it with it.
Yeah. That is one of the beefs of the week that I've most agreed with. And the rest of Twitter can suck it because you were correct.
I'm getting destroyed.
All right. Nothing on the side of the road this week, but I do have a Name That Tiger.
Oh, this is fun. Okay, I'm ready.
All right. First clue. That's I was cool. Born January 26th, 1978 in Paterson, New Jersey.
I know who it is. Is it a current Tiger?
No.
Oh, it can isn't. I say who it is?
Sure.
Rick Porcello.
No. Okay, that's good. I was.
Oh,
very,
he's younger than that.
I was very concerned that you were going to get it on the first play. The
Paterson, New Jersey.
Where he was born is actually extremely misleading.
Okay. All right, keep going.
I made my major league debut for the Tigers on April 7th, 2002, and was with the club until 2004. Through 2004.
2002 through 2004. Okay.
I'm at Miami-Dade Community College. I was both a baseball and track star, running the 100-meter dash in 10.37 seconds.
Nook Logan.
No. Incorrect. We've already done Nook anyway.
Oh, yeah, we have. So he was a track star in Miami.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have it.
I was called Detroit's leadoff hitter of the future by one Jason Beck in 2002. This is all from his Wikipedia page, by the way, because that's the extent of the research I do for this show.
Leadoff hitter of the future.
That is a direct quote.
2002 through 2004. Jock Jones? No, he was later. It's not Granderson. He was born in Chicago. Leadoff hitter of the Anderson?
No. Gorkis?
I'm thinking of the kid from Kansas City, the really fast white guy who played center field. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Let's see. Next one. I hit my first career homer off MLB legend Jimmy Gobble and was once sent down to Toledo in favor of current Astros manager A.J. Hinch.
Oh, this is a little before my wheelhouse.
This clue was mostly just to mention Jimmy Gobble, if we're being honest. I didn't think it was actually going
to help. Trying to think of Tigers.
You.
Eric Munson that era.
That would be the right era. Yep.
Inge was in that era. Gosh, who are those guys? Crap. This is the lousy. I don't know.
You're on the right track. Next one. Unsigned through February in 2007, I called the Detroit Tigers and asked for a job. Once again, that was more just funny than actually thinking it will help you get this one.
So he was on the 2003 Stinker Tigers. That was the year they were awful, right?
Yep.
I should know more of these guys, but I don't know.
This next one should help you. I won a World Series with the Giants in 2010.
2010 World Series winner. I don't know. I don't know it.
He's a center fielder, if this helps you. Was. And the last one. In 2012, Plan A Films produced a feature-length documentary about me titled Gigante, which dealt with my ADHD.
Alexis Sanchez? No.
Alexis Gomez, I think, was Alexis.
Gomez. But Alexis Gomez.
Not him. Do you give up?
Yeah, I give up.
Andres Torres.
Now that you say the name, like I recognize it, but I would. It's a little early for me. Gotcha. I wouldn't have known that.
All right. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. We'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And thanks, everybody, for sending in the questions for this week's show. The baseball isn't great, so we're gonna try and diversify how we do things for the rest of the season. Hopefully we'll get some guests on here shortly just to spruce some things up so we're not just talking about Jacoby Jones getting hurt.
We need to maintain our spicy reputation.
Yeah. Eric, do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here?
I feel a little. I feel a little bit stupid for guessing Porcello, but I think he was from New Jersey. That's why. But yeah, I didn't think about the year enough.
Yeah,
because that he 78. That would make him like 39. And Porcello's not that old.
No, with the beard, he looks a lot more like a man. But he's not 39.
Yeah, Andre Torres. Yeah.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.